Pod.
Rugby pod.
Hello and welcome to the Rugby Pod. I'm your host, Andy Rowan. I'm here with Big Jim and Goody. Coming up on the show, we have Brad Barrett after Saracens confirmed their spot as the sole Premiership survivor in the Champions Cup.
You're welcome.
Thanks very much to Rugby Pass for their help with the pod. You can watch the show on rugbypass.com. And to Guinness also for their help with the live shows. We're up in Edinburgh on the 21st and 22nd of February. So check out eventbrite.co.uk and snap up the last few tickets for those. And if you fancy promoting your brand or sponsoring the show, just drop an email to fred@therugbypod.com. How are you guys doing?
Who's Fred?
I'm the boss of this show now.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I would say I'm the boss out of all of us here.
I'd say you're the biggest bullshitter.
Okay.
Well, Jack and Ori Jim.
Mate, talking to Jack and Ori, so we were talking off air, weren't we, Andy Rowe, and you're about to tell us a story. And I said, just save it for the podcast because I'm letting you talk now. The stage is yours. Tell us a couple of stories. Tell us the one where you said where you blanked Anthony Joshua.
What have you been up to?
Oh, so I went to the Anthony Joshua press conference.
I know, seen it all over social media.
With Joseph Parker. And I was.
Parker's getting filled in, isn't he? Let's be honest.
He looks like. You talk about looking like a bin man. He looks like a bin man.
He's very underrated. The last two fighters he's fought, Andy Ruiz and Huey Fury, two undefeated fighters.
Never heard of them.
They can't get any
mate,
fights.
I'm undefeated.
Anymore. Anyway.
Do you know what I mean? It's like getting a bin man and a guy that cleans the bins for the bin man. Do you know what I mean?
And he's trained by one of the best trainers in the world.
Who?
Kevin Barry.
Never heard of him.
Never heard of him.
Kevin Barry? Is he the New Zealander?
Yeah.
I've trained in Kevin Barry's gym.
Yeah, you would have.
New Brighton.
Yeah, in Belfast. Kevin Barry Senior,
the rugby
you would have.
Yeah.
So Kevin Barry, so
you
Junior.
Me. You have heard of him.
I've heard of him, yeah. Kevin Barry, look at me.
He beat Evander Holyfield at the Olympics. So I was at the press conference and I was squeezing past trying to get to go and see Joseph Parker.
Do you know Joseph Parker?
Yeah.
Does he actually know who you are?
Yeah, he knows exactly. We've had a few good nights out. I can't tell too many stories about
you can't tell. We're here to tell stories. Just cut to the chase. What's happened then?
Oh, Anthony Joshua was walking straight past me and he was looking at me and I was kind of looking at him because he's Anthony Joshua.
As he looked at you, gone, I know him.
He's walking past me. He's looking straight at me.
He's the weird fish from the rugby pod.
Exactly what he said.
Yeah.
And he goes to put his hand out and I wasn't expecting it. I was kind of fiddling with my phone and walking, like we're kind of squeezing past each other going opposite directions. And he goes to put his hand out and I completely blanked him and didn't shake his hand. So.
Lad. Hey, what a lad.
Then a roundhouse kicked him to the face.
Oh, shut up. The arrogance of the Kiwi, though. There's an Olympic champion. Mm. Go and shake his... No. Not doing it.
That is awkward, though, eh? You know, you know when you go and try and shake someone's hand and like... Yeah, it just doesn't happen.
Because you go in the opposite directions as well, and there's only a small window. If someone puts their hand out, you don't take it. You're like,
Orcs.
Did you turn round?
Yeah, I turned round.
And what did he do?
And just pat him on the back. I was like, good luck, mate. Yeah.
He's going to win that easy, wasn't he?
So what else? You said you had another story.
His promoters were over. I'm friends with his promoters, and we went out.
Of course you are. Never
big deal. And we're looking for a place to go out, and Eddie Hearn hooks us up. He He's hooks us up with this place.
Are you good friends with him?
No. I've played in the poker tournament with him. He's a good boy, Eddie Hearn.
I don't even know his name.
I was going to say Eddie Jones. Eddie Hearn. Carry on.
Yeah, so he hooks us up with this place to go to. It's in Soho called Wardour. It's like 100 Wardour or something. And we go in there.
Oh, I know that place in Soho, yeah.
Yeah, so anyway, we have a few drinks, whatnot. And then the next couple of days later, I'm... at my brother's place.
Oh, Jesus Christ. All right.
This is the point.
Have you ended up filling someone in or not?
How many Kiwis are over it?
So I get this call from one of the guys that was out with us that night. And he's like, what happened? I got too plastered. I had to go home. So I took the phone call and I left the main room where my girlfriend was.
Oh, why have you got something to hide?
Yeah, went down to another room, into the baby's room, and started telling them what had happened. And I was like, mate, it was crazy. There were just girls everywhere. It was like 20 to 1 girls to guys. And they were all just, it was like they were circling us with sharks. I'd never had anything like it. And at that point, my brother realizes that the baby monitor and the baby room's on. And this is broadcasting to the whole living room. Full noise. And he shuts it off at that point. Girls circling all around us like sharks. He shuts off the baby monitor at that point. Just after that, I say... So that's when we decided this was all too much. We better leave.
Oh, wow. So you're actually being a good boy.
Yeah. So I walk back out and I'm just getting, everyone's just staring daggers at me.
So you've been sleeping in the kennel?
Dog box or the cat box with the cat food.
Mate, he's been in the cat litter tray, mate.
And how's your week been anyway?
He's on a diet. So we were coming in, he's drinking a can of Fanta and eating sweets. Downstairs, he said, I'm on a diet. You on a diet?
I'm on a diet. I've only had 4 sweets today as opposed to 8.
Yeah.
It's a start, isn't it?
Bought a new car. Bought a Mustang. Again.
You've bought a Mustang again?
Why have you bought a Mustang?
That's how much he hates his kids. You cannot fit kids into the Mustang.
Yeah, I've had enough. Yeah.
Can you actually not fit the
So hold on, you had a Mustang end of last season, didn't you?
End of the season, yeah. You bought it as your retirement present.
You bought it to yourself as a retirement present. Yeah. Then you sold it for the minibus.
Yeah, minibus has fell apart.
So you bought a minibus instead because you got 4 kids that you know about and maybe others that you don't.
Yeah, so the minibus is gone.
And you bought yourself a Mustang again.
We've got a Land Rover Discovery. We're dealing real. And I've just gone out and got a Mustang. Yeah, I couldn't live without it.
So you sold it about 6 months ago. And now
3 months ago I sold it.
Oh, I've bought another one now.
Yeah.
More money, less money, make money, or...
Who knows?
Who cares?
Mate.
He's that showbiz.
Yeah.
That's how he lives his life.
Who knows?
You got new shoes as well.
Got some new shoes.
Honestly, what the fuck are those on
they
your
feet? They
look
like Ronald McDonald
they
shoes.
Are clown, they're
All
clown
right.
shoes.
Yeah, hang on.
Mate, they are clown shoes.
They do, though.
Says what the office worker. Who wears a tie these days?
What are they?
Who wears a tie?
That's a good point. Who does wear a tie? What are they, though, Jim?
Yeah, they're shoes.
They are horrible.
This is coming from the spray-on shirt, man. You've got a shirt that's sprayed on.
It's just extra slim fit. And there you are. Hold on. You've been hacking down trees today as well in your shit shoes and your lumberjack shirt.
Fashion, mate.
Outstanding. Hey, we probably better talk a bit of Ruggers, shall we?
Ruggers? I'm off to Dublin. Saracens, we've done it.
Listen to that. Do you know, best thing about the weekend for me was there's Jim. So there's me tweeting Jim, you need our help. Wasps. Saracens, you are welcome. The Wasp boys did you a favour.
And they played well for once.
Got you into the knockout stages by beating Ulster. Weaker teams would have just chucked the towel in and said, actually, nah. Ulster, you go through. Smashed Ulster in the rain. What about the handling in the rain? We'll come back to that later.
Yeah.
Anyway, there's Jim going, oh, they are goody. We're off to Dublin. Are you coming? Oh, no, didn't think so. And then Richard Wigglesworth, 250, 60, 70, 80 games for Sarries, tweets, what are you coming for, Jim?
What are you laughing at?
Just absolutely buried you.
Well, it's not. It's just banter with the lads, isn't it? still in with the guys, eh? But yeah, I'm off to Dublin.
Yeah.
Cannot wait.
You've got to pay for your own flight and everything. And
see what Goody knows. Exeter Leinster final. Not a chance.
Yeah.
I'm going to go Saracens. I can't work out. Do you know who played who? So if,
in the semis?
Yeah.
Leinster, when they beat Saracens, they'll play the winners of Scarlets against La Rochelle. And then the winners of Munster, Toulon, so hopefully Munster, play Clermont or Racing.
I'm going to say...
Your final is...
Saracens and Munster.
Saracens and Munster. Interesting.
Leinster's a one.
Yeah.
We can get over that.
And this is the thing. You look at the Champions Cup now and where the group stages are finished. Leinster, by far and away, the best team. In terms of, obviously, played 6-1-6, but in terms of the squad and where it's at right now in terms of fatigue, fitness, players injured, players fresh, the way they've built up until the end of Jan, which is where we're at pretty much, they are in A1 shape. You take all those Leinster players out of the Leinster team, stick them in the Six Nations... The quarterfinals are 3 months away. And that's the thing. You're picking winners now, I'd pick Leinster. You pick winners in 3 months' time, early April, when it is, Billy Vunipola might be fit off the back of his broken arm. And those Irish boys might be, you never know, that the rugby landscape changes massively in 3 months.
Yeah.
So teams will get injuries, teams will get players back from injury. And right now, Leinster would be favourites for me. 3 months' time, I'm saying Saracens are going to win that game.
Oh, goody. Yeah, yes, you are.
Yeah. Big Billy will be back.
Yeah, I agree with you. Mate, Leinster are the form team. I tell you, I've been really impressed with Scarlets.
Yeah.
Really, really impressed with them. Good team, eh?
Amazing team. And you look at the quarterfinals. The big headline quarterfinal is ultimately Leinster against Saracens because Saracens are the back-to-back champions.
And Leinster form team.
Top seeds, played 6-1-6. The best game, in terms of the way teams play to watch, would be Scarlets against La Rochelle. The way they both play rugby, they both keep the ball alive, both chucking it around from everywhere, offload central, want to keep the ball in play as much as possible. La Rochelle play a fantastic brand of rugby, as do Scarlets. But have they got that experience and that ability to understand how to play that way in a knockout game? Because people will just say, oh, if we just keep playing the way we play, we'll win. But knockout rugby brings out a different beast in teams. And for me, if you're a neutral and you don't support any of those teams, jump on the back of Scarlets because they are amazing to watch. And finally, it's great to see a Welsh team. I think it's 6 years since a Welsh team made the knockout stages. So tip of the hat to them. Stephen Jones, Wayne Pivak, next Welsh coach is in the making.
And Wales finished bottom of the Six Nations, definitely.
Yeah, I actually read an interview over the weekend. Rob Howley spoke. Yeah, I can't remember what newspaper it was in, but he was doing an interview.
Oh, I know, it's the Horse Riding Times.
Horse Riding Times.
Yeah!
But they were doing he did an interview and they were talking about the way Scarlets were playing and the way Ospreys were playing as well. Ospreys were trying to play the same way in terms of keeping the ball alive. And Rob Howley said, yeah, that's, when we went on tour with Wales to New Zealand last summer, that was the watershed moment for us. We came back from that tour, got all the regional coaches together and said, this is how we want Wales to play. This is how we want you to play and coach in the Pro 14. Get all the front five offloading. So he was trying to take credit for the way Scarlets played. Like, hold on, we've seen what you've done with the Lions. We've heard what you've done.
Is he going to take credit for the Ospreys coach getting the sack then? So he got room in his house?
Yeah, possibly. So, really interesting. Ultimately, the best eight teams have made it. Some big moments in the knockout stages for certain clubs. You look at Exeter, Glasgow, phenomenal.
Well, Stuart Hogg beat him, didn't he?
Stuart Hogg, how good is he? Yeah. He needs a tan, sort his lid out, but he's hanging bloke, but unbelievable player. And you look at the small moments within the pool stages, Bath will be absolutely kicking themselves. People will go, they lost at home to Scarlets. Not for losing at home to Scarlets, because Scarlets were head and shoulders better than them and above them. Where they've lost it is they played Benetton at home in round one. Didn't get an attacking bonus point. Had they got that one point, they were always going to beat Benetton at home. Had they got the four tries, which they didn't get, they'd have been on 19 points. Toulon would have been out. So you can lose games. And you look at Wasps. Wasps were completely in control down at Harlequins 2 weeks ago with 13, 14 minutes to go. They're winning by 12 points, whatever it was. Lose that game. And so there's crucial micro moments within a game that have bigger outcomes in terms of the overall qualification. And, the lesser teams haven't made it for those key reasons, but the best eight clubs have made it. Four French, one Welsh, two Irish, and one English.
There we go.
You talk about the form or the comeback of Stuart Hogg. How much of an impact is that going to have on the Six Nations?
You look at the way Glasgow played. Finn Russell was outstanding as well. That's the blueprint of how Scotland plays, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. And Stuart Hogg, you read, again, not that I read, I look at a lot
of
pictures.
Can you read?
No.
I didn't think so.
Well, Steve Hansen said, didn't he, that moment in the Scotland game against New Zealand where Beauden Barrett chases him down. He said there's two world-class players, one trying to stop a try and one trying to score a try. And if you get that praise, if you put in a world-class bracket by a coach like that who's worked with the best players to have ever taken a rugby field, then that says something. But yeah, every time Stuart Hogg gets the ball, he looks dangerous, doesn't he?
Scotland's first game is Wales, is it?
It's Wales, yeah.
Away.
Wales away, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that sets the tone for them. If they can go there, Wales are on not a great run, so
there's no better time to beat Wales.
Yeah, so fantastic opportunity for Scotland
with their injuries as well. But yeah, but frustrating if you're Glasgow coach, eh? Obviously more so if you're Exeter. I mean, being the champions, all you've got to do is go up to Glasgow and get a win. They haven't won a game, have they?
No, that's the first win they got in the group.
Exactly. Mm. It's très bizarre.
But what I loved about the tournament this weekend is the fact that Bar Cast, you look at all the teams that were out. So Quins were out. Actually, Quins barred up over in La Rochelle. Lost 16-7. Everyone was like, oh, that'll be 40 points. Leicester Tigers out of the competition, put their first team out against Racing. Yes, they lost, but they physically barred up in brutal conditions. They didn't put a second team out. Wasps obviously were pretty much out. They picked a big team. They beat Ulster. Ulster didn't rock up for the party at all. I was really shocked by it, actually. I thought there'd be a load of energy, load of, the Irish way, the passion coming out. They got bullied at the breakdown.
They were poor at the breakdown.
The kicking
game
was pretty bad in poor conditions. But what I was going to say about the whole Champions Cup and why it was so great this weekend was the fact that only one team had qualified pre-round six. So Leinster had already qualified. I think there was something like 14 teams that could still qualify going into the last weekend to either win the group or become one of the best runners-up. And of the teams that were out, none of them threw the towel in and put an average team out. There were some quality games. And, Northampton didn't turn up at Saracens apart, but they still picked a good team there.
Well, the first 15 minutes they turned up.
Yeah, they put their best team out.
So funny. Dylan Hartley, mate.
Oh, I didn't see it. Go on.
He got stuck in. He's trying to throw himself about and he's up against Jamie George. He's grabbing.
Did he get dominated?
I thought he held his own, actually. But they got absolutely trolleyed. They got hosed in the scrum.
Did they?
Absolutely hosed. So, well, like we mentioned, didn't we? Saracens have struggled up front, haven't they?
Yeah.
At the scrum, and they gave away five penalties last week against Ospreys. And then Northampton notoriously got a good scrum, didn't they?
Yeah.
So they were opting to scrummage at any opportunity. Get your rollerblades on, Dills.
Is he going backwards?
Mate, dildo's on his hands, and he's got his roller and he's got his rollerblades on, mate. He's going back. So Jamie George dominated that. Didn't see Eddie Jones there. Saw Edward Griffiths with Nigel Ray.
Oh, really?
They were sat together.
They're back together, are they?
Yeah, interesting. Can't see it happening.
What, going back to Sarri's?
Can't see it. But anyway, yeah, so they were there, but I didn't see Eddie Jones at the game, watching his captain on rollerblades.
Get hosed.
Maybe he'd go on Dancing on Ice, like Max Evans. Hey.
But yeah, it was a brilliant climax, and you look at all the games, and there was bite to a lot of the games. There was something in it for every team, and bar Cast, who got hosed by Munster, and obviously Northampton got hosed by Saracens. It was an amazing weekend of ups and downs. Who was going to qualify? Exeter, Glasgow. Glasgow had nothing to play for, but picked all the big dogs, performed outstandingly well, scored two worldy tries. Exeter dominated possession for the first half, just couldn't score, made uncharacteristic errors in the 22, and ultimately paid the price with a defeat in the end.
Goody, you mentioned before, four French, two Irish, one Welsh and one English.
And how many Scots? No Scots.
No Scots.
What does that actually tell us? Is there anything to be said about the, would you say, domination of the French or not?
Four French clubs does dominate the headlines, doesn't it? Clermont and Toulon have got a massive history in the competition. They've qualified year after year. I know Morgan Parra had a brain freeze a couple of years ago, but they've always been in and around the quarter semis and finals. And they're big squads with a lot of cash spent on them. The big one is La Rochelle qualifying as well. It's their first year in the Champions Cup, so that's an outstanding achievement. They're bloody good at home. Got some quality players, Danny Prizzo at Lucet Prop. Obviously Victor Vito and all the big names.
Levani Bottia.
Bottia is unbelievable. And then Racing, you know, they're the big spenders as well. So Racing fought back in a tough pool, and credit to them beating Leicester at Welford Road. No matter what sort of state Leicester are in, is always difficult, because Leicester, obviously, they did front up, didn't they?
Yeah.
They looked poor at times, but they went 14-0 down after 10 minutes, and I'm watching it going, oh my God, this is a write-off. And fair play to them, they fought back and showed a bit of physicality and stuff.
Brad Barrett's joined us. Brad, thank you very much for coming on.
Skips.
Jimbo, how are you, buddy?
Mate, very good, mate. Where are you?
Where are you, Brad? And you're welcome.
It's official Tiki Tonga business in the Maldives, guys.
Oh, wow. You know,
got to spread the gospel. We're trying to touch all four corners of the earth, and we're slowly getting there. So we've added Maldives to our Tiki Tonga worldwide tour.
So you're in the Maldives. I'd normally go to Skegness, so there's a difference, mate.
How was Saturday, waiting to see if the other teams could do you a favour?
Yeah, I said it went from obviously ecstasy in terms of the result on Saturday into a very anxious wait on Sunday. Having obviously seen the result of the Leicester game, must be honest, the heart rate started to pulse a bit. I was wandering through Gatwick Airport. My wife was about to disown me and probably call a divorce, wondering what the hell's wrong with me. But thankfully, WAS obviously did the job for us. And we're hugely pleased now to go ahead into a away quarter-final up in Leinster.
Yeah, Brad, you're welcome for the WAS victory, right?
Thanks, Judy. I'm sure you had a big part to play in that.
Well, mate, I was running the corporate lounge, so it was good. It was good. So when you talk about this, the whole factor of watching the games over the Saturday and the Sunday, flying out to the Maldives, was it on in business class or were you flying first class? That's the main question we want to know.
No, it was humble class, I call it.
You turn class. Right.
I was with the family.
Who turns right on a plane these days?
No, I mean, I'm private jet, obviously.
So it's easy. Definitely. So, Brad, bit of ruggers, mate. Bit of ruggers. I was there. I'm happy. We're going to Dublin, mate. I can't wait.
Are you going,
Jim? Of course. You've got to be there, Jim.
Mate, I'm going, mate.
I mean, every playoff final that you've been involved with, we've won in the last 2 years.
Skips, you've just said it, mate.
I mean, it's one of those unspoken truths, Jim. Only a few of us really know the truth.
Well, the truth is it's about 2 minutes every time, so he's probably going to do as much on the side of the pitch in the corporate lounge this year as he did in the final last year, right?
He's definitely missed, Jimbo.
And
we don't have as many people going to the well every Tuesday as we used to.
Exactly, Brad. So what's been said this season then, mate? We had Jamie on before as well. Like, what's been the difference? Do you think there's been a bit of a hangover with the Lions players? I know Billy's been injured. He's a big part of the squad. What are your views?
I think for me, and obviously what we've spoken about, there's been a big inconsistency. Some of our performances this year have been probably the best we've played in 5 years in terms of these one-off performances, and Saturday was probably one of those. But then on the flip side, the week before, obviously, we had a bit of a stagnant performance against the Ospreys. So I think maybe over the past couple of seasons, we've been able to be super consistent and play to sort of 85-90% of our maximum, where this year we've had a few rare occasions where we've been completely on it. And then a week later, we haven't quite been there. So that's something we've been discussing at length, and in terms of our preparation and how we go about these. It's something that we feel we've got our finger on the pulse, and possibly now we're in a better place now to tackle these big games as we go into March, April.
And you talk about what's happened at the start of the season. Obviously, you had a bit of an injury, didn't you? There's been various injuries throughout the Saracens squad. Marrow was out, then Billy was out. With the hangover from the Lions tour and seeing how much of a workload all those England boys are doing as well. You've been there. I know you're out in the Maldives now on holiday, living the high life. But when you compare it to how the other countries are looked after, are those boys, you talk about Jim going to the well, are the likes of Maratoji, Owen Farrell, do you reckon they're playing too much rugby now? You've been on the side of it where you've been involved in the England squad, and now from the outside you're getting to rest and take the five-star holidays. Is that what they need as well?
Yeah, you can see it's pretty consistent within the Premiership. There was actually an article I read on Sunday in terms of those Lions players' workload for both Premiership and European rugby. And obviously the Premiership teams are far surpassing what the top 14 sort of players have done in terms of workload. So there's an element of that. There's an element of bad luck, I guess. Say a Billy and a Michael Rhodes for Saracens in this particular. They haven't played a lot of rugby, and just pure bad luck has obviously caused them to be re-injured. So sometimes you're able to keep a healthy squad, and that was probably our biggest success story in our double winning season, and that when we came into sort of April, May, we very much had 99% of everyone we wanted to double in the contention games, and the season's a little bit different.
And Skips, you mentioned it there, you're in the Maldives, mate, trying to sell Tiki Tonga for it to go global. Yeah. Of course you are. Just tell us a little bit about your business venture.
We're visiting a few villages who obviously do a bit of the roasting for our African blend signed on number 9. So it's very much a humanitarian sort of trip out, a bit of the time with the locals, and
So basically you're putting it through company expenses, and that's the way that you're justifying it. So if anyone wants to get in, Brad, if anyone wants to get involved with Tiki Tonga or want to buy some of the pods, I had some at the game at the weekend, Justin was ramming them down my front. I didn't realise you had to put them in a coffee machine. I thought you just ate the pod. So if people want to buy them, how do they do it?
The thing is, Jim, they're so good that you could probably eat them in that way.
So do they go into Nespresso machines?
Yeah, they do.
Do they really?
Nespresso compatible.
Oh, yeah, send me some. I'm going to go buy some tonight.
How do you buy them, Skips? How do you buy them, Brad?
The official supplier for rugby pods, so...
Oh, okay. There we go.
Oh, happy days.
So if the 100,000 listeners, Brad, want to buy the Tiki Tonga pods or beans or cafetiere powder, whatever you call it, how do they get them?
So, yeah, for your regular home user, please visit our website, www.tikitonga.co.uk. And then for any sort of trade inquiries, whether you have a business, a restaurant, bar, a cafe. Jim, I know you have a restaurant, Mac and Wild. I'm still waiting to sort of try to get some coffee in there.
Has he not taken up the contract with you there?
No, it's you know,
that's bad form, Jim.
He takes as long to deliberate as Chris Wiles.
I don't.
Brad, have you got any stories from Big Jim's time at Saracens that you could share with us?
I don't know where to start, really.
it's the rugby pod, mate. You can say what you like. You can talk about that day me and running down.
I've been on a 24-hour journey with a 2-year-old, so I would be loving to have free-flowing stories, but right now it's been a grind, Jim, travelling long.
It must have been a grind playing with Jim as well, I reckon.
No, it was some of the most enjoyable years of my career.
Skips, thank you. I will not tell the story of us running naked down the streets of Marbella then. I'll leave that. Cheers, Skips.
Thank you very much for joining us, Brad. Best of luck with the business and the holiday, mate.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
Enjoy it, buddy.
And, cheers, bro. Love your work. It's blowing up.
Cheers, mate.
Cheers, guys.
Do you remember those days?
Do you remember what days?
Oh, no, you normally had to play in the Anglo-Welsh Cup, didn't you?
No, I didn't play one Anglo-Welsh game.
The Shags always played.
I did not play one Anglo-Welsh game.
I generally said to my missus last night, so some of the Wasp boys played the game, flew straight to Cape Town last night after Sunday's game. And I'm sat there going, do you remember those days when you used to play rugby and you get the time off? So you'd always get a week off in October in the first batch of the Anglo-Welsh, a week off now, and then another week off in March when we hadn't made any of the knockout rugby, so it's happy days. So you just got you could plan your holidays. You get 3 trips to Dubai in, lovely. Now you've got twins, I've got 14 jobs. I'm just sat there going, how life has changed. There's no holidays. There's no Maldives.
I find it easier now.
Do you?
I find it easier now than when I played rugby, yeah. I have more free time now than I ever did.
It's because you hate your kids and you're never there, but
it's because that's a graft, mate. But Brad's a good bloke, isn't he? Good friend of yours, mate. Good friend of yours, Goody.
I don't know him too well, but he's very nice. He's generally, I'm going to say, he's probably one of, if not the toughest backs in the Premiership in terms of how he plays the game
and consistently.
Yeah, and how he smashes you, he runs bloody hard, all that stuff. Physically, he's immense, but one of the nicest blokes with it. He's not nasty at all. Like, he'll smash you and then try and pick you up off the floor and say hello and all that stuff. But lovely, you hear it in his voice there, lovely bloke.
Yeah.
Free coffee for life.
Exactly, that's it.
Here we go.
I didn't know they had it for the Nespresso machines.
Yeah, they have. They've got the pods. We're at the Tulip Lounge at the weekend. Where? Some bloke is trying to eat one of the pods. He thinks it's a chocolate. He's that pissed. I'm like, mate, that's a coffee pod. That adds a taste.
Like, bring some in.
I will.
Do you guys want to go to some social media?
Yeah, let's do that.
Josh Richardson has tweeted in, Eddie Jones's decision to have apprentice players seems ludicrous to me. Either they're good enough or not.
Oh, thoughts? God. Eddie's doing me head in, mate. Eddie, are you okay? Get it?
Eddie, are you okay?
So this is something the All Blacks have done for years.
Oh, that's why he's doing it then.
I think every single All Black that's in the team now has gone through an apprentice, just about.
Well, when you say apprentice,
so they go away on tours, or they're in the squad and they don't play. They just learn about the culture. They learn about the structures that you play in, but they never make the match day 23. Yeah.
So they had Zach Mercer, didn't they? He was an apprentice, but now
Zach Mercer's playing in the Six Nations.
Well, he is now, yeah. But he was an apprentice before, and then they've taken away his apprentice star. That's what he added next to his name.
Have they taken it away?
They've taken it away.
I thought he was still down as an apprentice.
He's been upgraded now.
He's been upgraded because every fucker's injured or banned.
Exactly.
But he deserves. I'm a big one for, if you're in the squad, you're in it on merit, right?
Yeah.
Is there a need to have Marcus Smith in the squad with, obviously, Farrell, George Ford, Lazowski's there as well, covering 10, and Marcus Smith?
Why is Woodburn not in?
He's good. Woodburn.
Why is he not in?
I don't know. But is there a need to have Marcus Smith in the squad? No.
But you can see why. You can see why with him.
He's played well.
Yeah.
But then you look at the balance. So you've got four fly halves, Farrell, Ford, Lazowski, and Smith, but you've only got two nines. A nine is such a specialist position, and he spoke about it, didn't he? He said, look, I've got Robson, Wigglesworth and Vellacott as my next three scrum halves, and if something happens, I'll just bring one of them in. But it's hard to get up to speed, I reckon, as a nine. Yeah, imagine someone gets ill on a Friday, test match Saturday.
And they're in the Maldives.
Exactly. But yeah, listen, Mercer was an apprentice. He's Bath's best player regularly, week in, week out.
Yeah.
In terms of go forward, obviously Falatau's been injured. This is a standout year for him so far.
He was awesome last year.
He was as well. But this is a real coming of age, I suppose. This year, and he should be invited. The England back row is, it's a bit of a minefield as to who to pick because of all the guys that are injured. Obviously Nathan Hughes, Billy Vunipola, Haskell's out, banned.
How different does it look without them lads? With the sheer size.
Oh, yeah, I generally worry now in the Six Nations.
Where's your go forward now?
We'll hose Italy.
Where's your go forward now in that England pack? You're looking at it.
Dylan Hartley, mate. What are you laughing at?
You're a bad man. Mate, Coley, we love him. We love him to death, mate. He is literally the human penknife like me, mate. Get to contact, literally hit the deck as fast as you can. Hold. Recycle. So you've got Mako, right? You've got Jamie off the bench. You've got Marrow, who hasn't been carrying that much.
Marrow doesn't carry very well.
Well, he's carrying okay. Courtney, he's your next He's a decent carrier.
Launchbury's
been class.
Who'd you start in the second row?
I think they'll go with this. I think they'll go with Launchbury.
He has to start. He's been phenomenal.
I think they'll go. Well, they should go with Launchbury and Marrow, Launchbury and Courtney, and put one of them at six.
Yep.
For sheer size, because they haven't got the size.
So you then go, you've got to play Robshaw at seven, have you?
I would play Robshaw.
Yeah, but you got to play him at seven then.
Yeah, but I don't think... Yeah, okay.
Eddie Jones is like, remember you're back to the World Cup?
Yeah.
All that stuff. He's a six, he's not a seven. Hammered him.
Now
you're backed into a corner to
pick him. I don't think six and seven matters. I really don't.
I agree. I mean, I still can't understand why Don Armand isn't in the squad.
Okay. So who else would you go? Do you rate Underhill?
He hasn't performed well enough. He's just come back from injury. He hasn't performed consistent. He's in the squad, but consistently well enough to start now.
Yeah, I think...
Simmons has got to start at
eight. Definitely. Man, I've not seen... For me, I rate Simmons. He's a brilliant player. I rate Underhill. I think Underhill's overrated. I've not seen enough of him at all. Saw him make a couple of mistakes against Argentina. Unbelievable tackler. One of the best tacklers we've seen.
Chop tackler.
But they're just lacking power.
Mm. It'd be interesting, actually. And I think what it does do, puts even more pressure on Owen Farrell, which he'll rise to that pressure. Without Billy, without a pack that's going to dominate and physically go forward, which... Yeah, ball in hand, we can put some nice shapes on it, but you always need a monster to get over the gain line. Farrell's going to be so key for us, and if he gets injured,
I've got a feeling that this will be Ford's last big involvement. Just got a feeling.
We just haven't got enough centres, though, to... T.O.'s been out injured. If T.O. had been fit and playing a few games, you could pick up... Who's going to play 12 if Farrell doesn't play there?
I was thinking about 12.
Slade's just popped his shoulder.
Man, I'm not a fan of Slade. Mate, he's all right.
Slade's good, mate.
Mate, he's 13, all right.
13, maybe not 12.
Mate, he's good. He's good. There's a big difference, though. He's good, and then there's winning the World Cup. It's or winning the Six Nations. He's not a Hugh Jones, is he? He ain't as good as Hugh Jones. How many people
Hugh Jones is very good. Mate, I'm trying to think of...
I'm trying to think of a 12 for England. That's what I'm trying to think of.
Farrell's the only option, right? And Lozovsky's the backup.
Yeah, okay.
Just looking at players fit and in the squad at the minute.
I'm thinking, looking at that England team, Scotland are going to beat them. And we've got a bet on, haven't we? We've got a bet. And you're nodding your head
What's
now.
What's the bet?
Well, yours is an easy bet. You'll wear a kilt on the Saturday night up in Edinburgh.
And what are you?
I'll have to, if England win, I've got to have a Mohican-like fucking Marley bag.
Exactly. But that's the other thing. Harry Mallander's in the squad. I don't get that.
So to answer Josh Richardson's question,
I don't see. I'm not bothered. Either way, you're either in the England squad or you're not.
Eddie plays with the press, doesn't he?
Exactly.
He puts things out there to detract from other pressure points.
Eddie,
are
you okay?
Press, Grant Cherry has tweeted, and what's your views on players' freedom of speech on social media and comments from years ago and being dug out of the grave?
Yeah, well...
Who's been dug out?
Well, obviously I called Bastro out last week.
You bastard.
For his homophobic slur on the field.
Three weeks.
Rightly so, as a co-commentator, I picked up on it and said it. And then some French
Mate,
people...
You didn't just pick up on it.
I went hard on it, yeah. You've gone did, because there's no place in the game for it now. And then some French people went back through, 8 years ago, gone back through my tweets and found a bit of banter between myself and Johnny Murphy.
Yeah. So who's done that? Some French dude?
Yeah, and Dan Hipkiss.
Eight years ago.
And I hold my hands up. The language is horrendous. It's wrong. And looking back on it, I've gone, hands up, that's completely wrong. Yeah. But what some of the French people, and mainly Toulon fans, were trying to do was blame me for what Bastereau said and try and take the emphasis off what he's done and said, and I'm a hypocrite. Well, yeah, I put my hands up. You know, stuff I've tweeted 8 years ago, I shouldn't have, you know, in the cold light of day, doesn't look good, but facts is, we're living in the here and now, and Bastereau was wrong, and it's got 3 weeks, I thought it should have been more, but there we go.
You bastard.
There we go. But yeah, you know, players should have freedom of speech within certain parameters. You can't, you know, if you're going to expose yourself and say certain things on social media, you've got to be accountable for them. And, you know, that's the way of the world now. People will dredge up the past. Everyone's got skeletons. You know, everyone out there has said things.
God, I am a skeleton. I've got to go back and have a look. So 8 years ago, was Twitter even out 8 years ago?
Yep.
Oh, my word, I need to go back.
And trust me, it took a long time to find the tweets.
Oh, did it?
Yeah.
Michael J. Downs has tweeted in, where was the best atmosphere to play? Just to lighten things up.
Where was the best atmosphere to play? Well, as an individual ground, I don't think you can beat
Millennium.
The Millennium with the roof closed.
Were you going to say that as well? Me too.
100%. Millennium with the roof closed, when it reverberates around there, is unbelievable.
Yeah. That's the best place I've played.
I think so.
Clermont, when I played there in the quarterfinal, I actually played there.
Actually played?
Yeah, we lost.
Of course you did.
And then I went there this year again and realised the atmosphere there was sick.
Yeah.
Murrayfield, when Scotland play England.
And
the rain's coming done. Mate, the atmosphere there is unbelievable.
I'll never forget.
You'll be by the buffet, but...
Being on the England bus and having bricks and stuff chucked at the bus.
Mate, they weren't bricks, they were nappies.
Well, whatever they were.
Really?
Yeah, it was mad. I'm like, there can't be this much hatred for the England rugby team by a couple of drunks in Scotland. Oh. But it's funny.
Well, we'll come back to social media if we've got time later on. Let's go to some news. Steve Tandy sacked as Ospreys coach.
Discuss.
Blame Rob Howley. If he's told if Rob Howley's told them to play like that, and the Ospreys have done that, I'm surprised actually. I'm not surprised because they've been rubbish in their conference.
But make your mind up.
Well, Champions Cup, they've been awesome. But they haven't they? Like they could have gone through at the weekend.
Yeah, yeah. Do you know what? I commentated on the game Ospreys at Clermont, and they were in the mix, in with a shout. They had a load of opportunities. Made a load of errors in the 22, just couldn't hold onto the ball. And they did put Clermont under pressure. The big thing for me is you look at it and Reece Webb's leaving, going to Toulon. Dan Bigger's leaving, he's going to Northampton.
Alwyn Jones, maybe.
There's chat of Alwyn Jones.
I can see that happening though.
And then you start looking at it and you go, I think Steve Tandy's been there 7 or 8 years, has he? Mm. And he was an Ospreys player, turned into the coach, I think he moved into the job by chance because someone else got sacked. And undoubtedly, he's done a good job, but like all coaches, there is a lifespan at a club where your voice perhaps goes stale. And when you see some of the big names leaving the Ospreys, and they've been poor in the Pro 14, yes, they perform well in Europe and nearly qualified, but the board at the Ospreys obviously see an opportunity to say, right, we're garbage in the Pro 14 this year. We feel that there needs to be a regeneration, there needs to be a change. there is some quality players there. Sam Davis on the bench. He'll play a lot next year instead of when Dan Bigger goes. Dan Evans as well. But do they need a new voice in? You look at what Pivac's done at Scarlets, and are they thinking we need to go and think outside the box? And, you know, Steve Tandy's been at the club for at the Ospreys for a long time.
They must have someone lined up. They must have,
yeah. I was surprised at the timing today, obviously after the not qualifying at the weekend. But ultimately, and that's the way rugby is going in terms of success is demanded by owners and board members, and it is becoming not a hire and fire culture as in football, but as any coach, and we've spoken about this off air, haven't we? Job security now as a coach, you know.
Well, if they're getting paid, significant sums now, aren't they? Yeah. So that's why. Yeah. So Steve Tandy to Cardiff, maybe.
Maybe Steve Tandy to Cardiff. Jordan Murphy, where's he going? Is he going to Cardiff? Is he going to Ospreys now?
Oh, rumour mill's coming up shortly. So
yeah, I mean, interesting. Obviously, with some senior players leaving, they perhaps feel it's a good time to, you know, get a different voice, a different direction.
8 uncapped players in the England Six Nations squad, down to the 7th choice loose head, with Lewis Boyce and Alec Hepburn included. More Eddie mind game suggesting that they're underdogs or genuinely behind the eight ball a little bit there?
Oh, we spoke about it a bit, didn't we? England do not look at the strength that they were last Six Nations. Not just the injuries that they've got, but, you know, you look at their frontline players. Are they playing as well as they were pre-Lions tour last Six Nations? You know, you put Mako, I know he got man of the match at the weekend. Are you telling me that Dylan Hartley's playing well? Well, I'll let the listeners out there decide, and we'll see in the Six Nations. Coley's been in a struggling Leicester team. Marrow's not been fit, he's been injured. We spoke about the back row earlier.
Launchby's playing well.
Launchby's playing very well. I'd say out of there, Launchby's playing. Courtney Law's come out and said that he isn't playing well himself. Yeah. Then you look at the backs.
Rob Shaw's playing well.
Yeah, Rob Shaw.
I'll give him that.
So you've got
Sam Simmons as player. Three forwards, Launchbury, Sam Simmons, Mako to a certain extent, so four forwards, and Rob Shaw. They're playing pretty well.
But then you look at Ford. Is he playing well? No, he's not playing well. Is Farrell playing as well as he was?
Farrell's outstanding on Saturday, mate, but at 10.
Yeah, against Northampton. That's the best I've seen him play in ages. Yeah.
Why hasn't Don Armand been included?
I don't know about that.
Almond Milk, mate. I don't know.
You're what? A milkmaid?
No, Almond Milk, as in I don't think Eddie Jones likes.
He must be one of the best sevens running around at the moment.
He's one of the biggest.
I don't get it, but then again, when he hasn't got picked, we had him on here before, didn't we? When he didn't get picked and there was all that uproar as to why he didn't get picked, I think Eddie Jones likes that.
Yeah, he goes against it, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does. And obviously picked Gary Graham.
George Graham's son.
Up here from Newcastle, who is... I read about him, actually. So he was playing in Gala Shield.
Yeah, that's right, in the Borders.
And then he's gone to Jersey.
Yeah, in the Championship.
This is his first year in the Premiership.
Yeah.
We need to make more of that.
Yeah.
That's amazing, that the rise from Gala Shields. I mean, imagine playing up there in the cold, the snow, the wet, the horrible.
Proper rugby, mate. Oh. You've seen the clips of him as well. He did this thing that I think he got from me when I played at Edinburgh against Munster.
This is a lie.
He basically handed off about three guys, a couple of spins, and then literally made the gain line. So he's got power. That's what I'm saying. He's a good carrier.
So he, hold on. You made the gain line. That's, you're saying he's got it from you that he just made the gain line?
No, the double handoff for the step and the basically that extra power, that Bottia from La Rochelle, that style.
La Rochelle, Le Bottia.
Yeah, Le Bottia, that last bit of power.
Yeah, how Don Armand's not in it, I don't know. I think what is interesting, Haskell's ban finishes, I think, the week after Italy. So he's got a four-match ban, so he's missed this weekend. He misses the two Anglo-Welsh games and England-Italy. There's your four games. Eddie Jones named his squad, not for the whole Six Nations. He named it just for the Italy game. So there may be some changes after that.
Well, he's brought George Cruz back in, hasn't he?
Yeah. He's not playing well, though, either, Cruz.
He played a lot better at the weekend. I'd say him and
I'd
Owen.
Would you pick Ezekwe over him now?
Ezekwe's been playing six.
Yeah.
Yeah, interesting.
There we go.
Ireland have got a pretty strong squad. Only one uncapped player.
Yeah, and he's a pretty decent uncapped player as well. How good's he been? The Lima. Jordan Lima.
Lama.
Jordan Lima.
Lama.
Jordan Lamore.
Lama. I've heard it's Lama.
Is it?
Yeah.
Is it Lama or Lima?
I've heard it's Lama.
We'll call him the Lima. He's good, eh?
Ireland will be very good during the Six Nations.
Yeah.
Are they the team to beat?
Yes.
England are, because we're champions, but...
Current form. If you're going in there and you're at a training session for Ireland, they are full noise. They are primed, ready to go.
Yeah.
England aren't, but England have got Italy first up, which is going to benefit them, I suppose.
Yeah, I mean, we go...
Who have Ireland got first? France.
Yeah. But you talk about England, so England start Italy, should get that win.
Should.
Well, mate, yeah, we will.
Should.
Well, I'm not going to lie, I'm a bit nervous now, looking at the squad.
Mate, not against Italy.
No, but overall. So then we play Wales at home.
Yeah.
If you're picking a team to play at home, and it's not Italy, right now for me it's Wales.
Yeah.
Because they weren't in great shape over the autumn, were they? And then, the big one.
Up we go.
Week three.
Scotland, here we come.
Scotland. We're on the smash up there for 4 days, aren't we?
4 day smash. I'm not. My wife, if you're listening, I'm going up there for work.
Oh, yeah, working.
Drink,
yeah.
And
are we
going to
work the baby's head? We'll work the baby's.
No, well, we've got two babies. We've got four babies between us.
Yeah,
there's a lot
so
of
4 days
yeah.
drinking. There we
exactly.
Go.
4 days.
Scotland's got a bit of problems in the front row as well, haven't they?
Mate, Jamie Batty Boy. Can you say that now or not?
I think you can.
Yeah, you can. Of course you can. Because that's his nickname. That's his nickname. The boys call him Batty Boy because he's called Batty.
Ali G used to say, Batty Boy!
Exactly. And Batty, and he's a good lad. So they call him the boy. So Batty
Boy.
Yeah. So Jamie Batty Boy.
We just cleared that up.
So, yes, they are thin on the ground up front. George Turner, the hooker at Glasgow, buggered his knee.
Scott Lawson's been called up.
He's back in, mate.
Oh my God.
He's called up.
That is that he's the. I
called
reckon,
up.
Yeah.
He's starting.
Will he start?
He's going to the starting hooker.
Oh my days! If you see him with his kit off,
he don't look. He don't look as bad as you.
Oh my God! You haven't ever seen anything like.
He does not.
I mean, ginger pubes everywhere.
Nicknamed the Pelican.
Oh my God!
So
he's done well, though, hasn't he?
Mate, a good player.
He's about 42 now,
mate. He looks 42. I think he could be 34, but he looks about 42, 52. Good player.
Tough paper round.
Mate, tough paper round. Yeah. Loves his ear. So that he's got a cauliflower ear, the worst cauliflower ear you've ever seen. Didn't do it in a rugby game. He got one of the guys to knee him in the ear on the night out so he can get a cauliflower ear.
Stop it.
True story. So he's in. But yeah, they're thin on the ground. Richie Greer is back. Will he play? He's been playing at Toulouse. He's got a bad back. He's back in.
Laidlaw
will be on
you
the
ain't
bench.
You ain't starting Laidlaw.
No, Laidlaw will be on the bench. Laidlaw will be on the bench and he will come back and he will start. I think Laidlaw will start against England.
That'd be the worst thing they could do.
All right, well, we'll see.
Because the way they'll be, if they have a chance of beating England,
yeah,
which obviously they do because it's two teams going at it in a game of rugby, so everyone's got a chance. A realistic chance, you need Ellie Price at nine.
Okay.
The way they play that speed, and the blueprint is Glasgow, isn't it? And obviously it's same thing, Scotland. The way Glasgow attacked at times, it's dangerous. Stuart Ogg can rip anyone to pieces.
Mate, Tommy Seymour was back to his best that game. So the three key players for Scotland are...
Hugh Jones,
Finn Russell and Stuart the Hitman Hogg. They are the three key players. If they get injured, holy smoke balls. I don't even know who's coming in.
Wales have got James Davies and Josh Adams in.
You're welcome. James Davies, you're welcome, mate. Cubby boy!
Well, when you say you're welcome, I think he's probably earned it himself, hasn't
he? Well, okay, fair enough. Yeah,
but he has been bloody good.
We've talked him up here. Yeah. Apparently Gatlin listens to the podcast.
Does he? Hello, Warren. How are you?
Was, how are you, mate?
Good
your time's
you.
Up, mate. Your time's up.
Sacked in the morning. No, he deserves to be in the squad. And actually, to be fair, you look at the Welsh back row and obviously Warburton's out injured. Then you've got Navidi played actually pretty well for them in the autumn. Tipperick's in some good form again. Then you've got James Davies and also Thomas Young, who didn't make the squad. He's been tearing up trees for Wasps. So Cubby boy James Davies
deserves... Has he been tearing up trees? There's no trees in Cov.
There is, mate.
No, there's a canal, that's it.
There's a canal with trees lobbed in it because he's torn them all up. But yeah, so James Davies fully deserving. Any Scarlets player in the mix, pick the Scarlets team.
True. Talking of internationals, I've got a little bit of a shout-out to do, if that is okay.
Oh, I've got some shout-outs later as well.
Oh, have you?
Yeah, go on.
So, Ian Peel, who is the Saracens forwards coach at the minute.
Does he even know who you are?
Does he know, mate? But I've kept him in a job, mate, okay. For 2 years. He listens to the podcast and he loves scrummaging and he loves mauling, my two fortes. So, they're going to be doing a haggis hike for Doddy Weir this week on Wednesday. So, if you want to follow that, it's going to be at Hike for Doddy. There's a few of the old boys going from their team from the Newcastle days. Obviously, everyone knows about Doddy Weir at the minute. He's been suffering, he is suffering from motor neurosis disease. And some of the lads are going on this hike to raise some money on the 24th of Jan. Stuart Grimes, James Cartmel, Gareth Archer, Jim Naylor, Pete Massey, Michael Stevenson, Simon Best, Marius Herter, Gary Armstrong, just to name a few. And it's going to be the Haggis Walk from the Borders to Kingston Park for Burn Supper. So if you want to get behind that, just follow them on at Hike for Doddy.
I'm just wondering why I didn't get invited to that. I'd probably eat the haggis on the way around.
Exactly. Do you like haggis?
Mate.
I've never had it.
I like any food, mate.
You've never had haggis?
No, I never had it.
So you've eaten cat food, but you haven't eaten haggis?
You're weird, mate.
Let's just clear that up. I've never eaten cat food.
Yes, you have. We watched you in New Zealand.
You were sound asleep.
You were licking the bowl of cat food.
Fred's actually sent through a couple of shout-outs as well to Lincoln Rugby Club, who got promoted last season. Big listens to the pod. And Cartam Nomads, who listened to the pod from the Sudan.
Mate, the Sudan?
Yeah.
Let's do a live
pod
out there. Let's do a live pod out in the Sudan.
What is Sudan?
What is Sudan?
Is it a country? Is it by Iraq?
Iraq, listen to this kid.
Is it by Iraq?
Iraq?
Iraq.
Who's he?
Well, Iraq is a country.
Iraq?
Iraq and Sudan. Are you joking or
the
not?
The education of Jim Hamilton comes to the fore again.
Should we go to the rumour mill and see you guys have been around the traps?
No, around the traps? On. We have absolutely destroyed the rumour mill. We are the rumour mill.
Just making things happen, aren't we?
Afoa confirmed.
As we said, Harry Thacker, John Afoa to Bristol.
Two very good signings for Bristol as well. Good. We called Earl. Oh, my Willy.
Why is he left Saracens to go to Quinn's?
Cash money, I reckon. More money.
But Saracens obviously break the wage cap, so they're fine.
I don't think they can anymore, mate.
Can you not do it anymore?
Well, I think you look at the back line. Lazowski's re-signed. They'll probably have to get the chequebook out for Goud.
He's going to Worcester. We've seen it. Oh, Alex Goud, BBC website, BBC Sport website. Alex Goud signs for Worcester Warriors.
Are they a load of cowboys on there or not?
2018-2019 season. And then took it down about half an hour later. But
there might be something in that.
Well, I asked him on Twitter because Mum was worried. You know, I'm obviously little brother and all that. He's not, but people still fall for that he is my little brother. The whole thing on BBC Sport website said they'd announced that he'd sign for Worcester next year. What's that about?
I have no idea. Cowboys, mate. Or they could be the influencers as well. So we've confirmed Afoa Thacker to Bristol.
Yeah.
We confirmed Earl Mill Willie Monster to Quinns.
Lewington to Sarries.
Yeah, we said that. And then it was off. And then it was back on. And then it was on. So we obviously got more money. Messam to Toulon. Liam,
that's confirmed, isn't it? Mm,
it's locked down.
Is that confirmed?
Yeah, lockdown. Yeah.
Oh, lockdown. Yeah.
The big one for me is the whole... How the BBC have put that on their website. There's no smoke without fire, right? So that's why I tweeted Alex and went, what's this about, man?
There's something in that. I've got a feeling there's something in that.
I got a feeling.
So, well, what's Pennell doing? Pennell. Robocop. In his air job, doesn't he?
He does, yeah. Pennell's air.
So I can't see them. Like, they've got a decent player in there. Bryce Heem. Do you know who he is?
To Northampton, yeah. There's a Worcester winger.
Yeah, he's off, so maybe that's why. Mm. Maybe he'd get Goody on the wing.
He's no ding-a-linger, is he?
And
you talk about form, though. How is he not in the England squad when you talk looking back three options?
Goody?
Mm.
He's sort of face doesn't
obviously, fit. Yeah, face doesn't fit. Obviously, Eddie Jones probably thinks he's related to me, that counts him out completely.
What else you got in the room?
Well, the deal was off, isn't it? We saw Stephen McDonald, Ronald McDonald today.
Ulster, gone.
I had a... failed his medical.
I know.
Really?
Funny enough.
Mate, he looked absolutely buggered. Like,
I had a missed call from Belfast today.
Oh, no. You tweeted that. Oh,
just
saying.
They're desperate.
You reckon?
Desperate times, desperate measures.
Exactly.
I saved Newcastle, didn't I?
Would you come out of retirement for Ulster?
Absolutely no chance.
I would. If Ulster said to me, you'd come out...
What, play at 10?
Anywhere. I'd turn out for them. So, Quade Cooper, maybe. Think that's back on?
Yeah, they'll have to go and spend some coin, won't they?
I'll tell you what, I'd love to see. We mentioned whether or not it happens, Sonny Bill to Sale. We spoke about it at the beginning of the season, didn't we? Either way, I would love to see my partner in crime, my brother from another mother, Sonny Bill, come to the Premiership. How good would that be?
You couldn't get two further different ends of the spectrum in terms of athleticism with Jim Hamilton and Sonny Bill Williams.
Well, you could, because you could have Sonny Bill Williams and Andy Goud.
Well, no, I'm talking about same height, but different athleticism. Okay. Mate, I've done you in a speed test. I've done you... I don't even have to train, mate, and I could rinse you.
Okay.
You could try and put me into next week. I'll probably step you and do you. Go on.
Let's find out what's been good and what's been bad and what's been ugly in rugby over the last week with the good, the bad, the ugly with Andy Goud.
Obviously, we talked loads of ruggers this week, plenty of Goud. Saracens, they did need help from others, but they also had to do their job in style, and they did that, spanking Northampton by 60-odd points. I mean, imagine if Northampton, you'd be glad to not have to play Saracens again this year, because every time you've got humped by 50-plus, oh, whoops, you've got to play them again in the Premiership. 50-odd points, 60 points, 50-odd points, amazing. Saracens pretty good. We don't often talk about the Challenge Cup. Adam Radwan from the mighty Toon, second hat-trick in the space of a week. He scored 10 tries in 6 Challenge Cup games for Newcastle this year, so he deserves a shout-out. Wasps, got to talk about that. They're handling, genuinely now, I don't know, Jimmy, looking at me going...
But they're out of the Champions Cup, yeah, so they still had a chance.
They knew they had to get a bonus point. Generally, you watch the game, their handling in those conditions was phenomenal, so that was pretty good. They don't win it, though, Jim. They don't win it. I'm kind of torn, really, and I'm going to go away from what I wanted to.
You're Natalie Imbruglia?
Is that torn. One of their songs?
Yeah.
You've got to go to Glasgow. The two tries they scored, take your pick from Tommy Seymour's try or Matt Fagerson. Tommy Seymour's try, started by Finn Russell and obviously your man Hogg at fullback, just tearing up Exeter from their own trial, and pretty much that was unbelievable. That's try of the season contender, if not the winner. That was pretty good. But this week, I've got to give it to the Scarlets. The way they've played over the last 2 weeks, the Scarlets qualifying for the first time any Welsh team's done it in the knockout stages for 6 years. And specifically James Davis, named in the Wales squad for the first time, made 23 tackles, got 2 turnovers. I'm going to give it as a collective to the Scarlets. The good this week goes to the Scarlets.
Nice, I like that.
Well done.
The bad, I'm going to go two things really. Anyone see Christian Wade's intercept pass at the weekend? So Ulster put a kick up. Willie LaRue catches it. Turns.
He's playing well.
But he did score, created an awesome try.
He's no longer Willie LaPoo.
But catches it, chucks it on the floor to Wadey. Wadey runs across, picks it up, starts haring across the field, going where only Wadey knows he's going. And then he sees an Ulster shirt to his left and just chucks him the ball. Like, passes it straight to him. Can't remember who it was. Ulster end up catching it. The guy catches it, feeds it on someone else. They score. And it was literally, remember like you're playing PE at school or something, or touch, and it's like offload touch in training, and you call someone's name and they just pass you the ball and you're on the wrong team. It was the most schoolboy error I've ever seen or seen for a long time. That was pretty bad. But the bad this week, and it's a team that got it but still won the game. So La Rochelle beat Quinns 16-7. Had La Rochelle have got the bonus point victory at home, they'd have got themselves a home quarter final.
And they haven't lost at home, have they?
They haven't lost at home for God knows how long. Fair play to Quinns, they barred up defensively. But it's just those minute details in Champions Cup games that get you the difference between home quarterfinals and away quarterfinals. And ultimately, because they didn't get the bonus point, because they haven't got the European experience, they didn't get the home quarterfinals, so they're bad this week. It was in their hands. They knew it on the Sunday. Unfortunately, they get the bad.
Oh.
And then the ugly, the whole disciplinary process for me. How James Haskell's got a 4-week ban and Matthew Bastereau only got 3-week
ban. Oh, don't
say
it, mate. You're going to open yourself up in the French papers, mate. You are.
The ugly this week has to go to the opinion-dividing state of our judicial system.
Is it, it's a democracy.
Someone's going to go back through your records and see the high hit that you put on Dan Carter.
Oh, they'll bring that up. You deserve a ban.
Yeah.
My career's over, boys. Don't worry about it. The ugly this week, the judicial system. Bastereau should have got more.
You bastard.
The end.
You bastard.
Do you guys want me to read a review? Because we like our reviews that come out.
Oh, okay. Go on then. Talk
right.
It up.
Okay. This is from RM_1664. He says, new to podcasts and was extremely lucky to find this one straight off the bat, which has won me over. Jim, being the legend that he is, couldn't really fail, to be honest. But Andy Goode, being the mishmash of different people's body parts that he is, not only looks funny, but sounds funny as well. A great, honest and interesting look behind the curtain for rugby fans that really helps them to relate to players on the whole. Keep it up, lads. You're doing an awesome job.
And what's his name?
RM_1664.
Oh, so it could be a woman.
Yeah.
Could be anyone.
Don't forget to leave us reviews and subscribe to us on Twitter. Review us on iTunes, of course, and check out eventbrite.co.uk for details on the upcoming live shows in Newcastle this week and Edinburgh on the 21st and 22nd of February.
We're coming for you.
Rugby pod.
Rugby pod.
Pod, pod, pod.